Guillermo Mash welcoming you to the May 16th edition of the Without a Roof radio program here on KZFR 90.1 FM. I'm in the production studio post-airing of our episode this afternoon, and you're going to be hearing from Mark Herrera here in just a second. I actually pressed record after all the introductions, but I'll do that right now. Mark is someone that had the will and the way and took his civil duties to heart and made some comments from Business of the Floor yesterday evening at Chico City Council, May 15th, Tuesday. And he literally was arrested and spent the night in Butte County Jail. So we're going to hear from him, a little insight on what transpired. And more importantly, he got cut off halfway through what he had to say. So you're going to hear everything that Mark Herrera had planned on reading from Business from the Floor here in just a second. We follow that up with a really neat interview. I might have spent 90 minutes getting a whole bunch of information and conversations with Patrick Newman, the founder of Chico Friends on the Street, and Robert Jones, one of the active members in that group, around many different topics. But it was kind of interesting in that I'd already had this in the can when I'd seen this whole Mark Herrera thing come up. And it's a really perfect segue into some of the things that Mark Herrera brings to the forefront as it relates to hate groups and people that are, you know, spinning the plight of others into political gain and ways to be looking down on others instead of giving a hand up. So with no further ado, here's Mark Herrera here on People Power Radio.
From Business from the Floor to use my 3 minutes to give a short speech. It was a satirical approach to a lot of chatter that's been going along in the community, specifically with regards to how to address the homeless issue. And I was basically there to provide a satirical critique of a specific group called Chico First here in town. They're basically a discrimination organization, anti-homeless. And, you know, I've just been sick of hearing about all this prejudice that's been poisoning our community and seeing all this stuff on Facebook, and I just had enough. So I went there and gave my kind of speech, and the mayor decided that I was leaning a little bit more towards the personal attack, and he asked me to stop speaking, and I politely declined, and he had me arrested.
So you it wasn't because you spoke past your time limit. He kind of cut you off before the red light and said, you're done?
Yeah, I got about halfway through my speech, and I was out of there.
Is it possible you could, do you have your speech of what you'd said and let our listeners decide? You
know, yeah,
that would
absolutely
be awesome if you got time, Mark.
Got it queued up. Basically, my speech went like this. The city council has been working hard to accommodate requests across a diverse platform of community members and groups alike. I, for one, am thankful for all of your public service. One of the most notable groups of late is Chico First. I'm here this evening to make a request that would be close to their members' hearts, or at least where their hearts ought to be. I propose that the city declare June as Homeless Discrimination Month to celebrate the hard work and prejudice that Chico First is so diligently poisoning our community with. It takes a special kind of person to go out of their way to victimize a marginalized portion of the population by using every creative tactic to criminalize the human condition of homelessness. That needs recognition at the highest level. Those people deserve not only praise, but the utmost credit they deserve. Forcing people to sit nor lie, shutting down parks, ripping away shopping carts, and creating a discrimination task force are clear acts that should be nominated for Humanitarian of the Year. The brainchild, emphasis on child behind all of this, who started his altruistic mission with Chico First, could really run with the idea of Homeless Discrimination Month. He could create a Facebook event and everything to go along with his Chico First Discrimination Facebook page, which may or probably did get reported as hate speech yesterday. To celebrate Homeless Discrimination Month, this human paraquat could start a crowdfunding campaign for the opening of the Chico First Homeless Summer Camp, where he could concentrate all of those whom his group deems as undesirable. That's what Chico First really wants, isn't it? Quit wasting everyone's time with all of these Chico Safe Now proposals and get on with it. I can just picture the ribbons cutting ceremony now, can't you? So it's time for the city to declare June. Oh, heck, all these do-gooders deserve the whole year. So let's pass a resolution to make 2018 Chico's Homeless Discrimination Year. I already have a perfect tagline. You have nothing, and we want to take it away from you. So that was my speech. It was a little on point, but
Yeah, I mean, personal attacks usually imply, you know, calling someone out by name. I did not hear that in your speech. It seemed to be very well thought out and articulated.
Thank you. Yeah, I just really wanted to bring to light all the discrimination that's happening in our community, especially to a disenfranchised portion of the community that doesn't really have the opportunity to voice their own and stand up for themselves.
Yeah, I used to speak a lot from the floor, and I really give everyone that has the ability to do that all my praise. But Chico First has a vernacular here in Chico that is anything but, wanting to make Chico First. It's about, you know, moving people along and discriminating. So yeah. I really appreciate, you know, you stepping up and doing that. But what happened like halfway through the speech? Maybe you could recreate it for our listeners.
You know? Well, it kind of all happened so fast. I was interrupted by the mayor, and I politely said, please save your questions to the end, kind of jokingly.
Yeah.
And he said that he felt as though his my remarks were a personal attack, and he asked me to stop speaking. I continued, and he had the police officer who is stationed at every council meeting come and put me in handcuffs and take me away.
And take you away. So did you spend the night in jail?
I did.
You actually physically put you in jail for what you just read here on KZFR 90.1 FM.
Yes, and I believe the official charge was disrupting a public event or something like that.
I think the mayor and I think the city council at large has crossed a huge red line, Mark.
I feel
I'd like to see as many people as possible get out. I haven't spoken at city council in maybe like a year and a half. I'm going to be there. You know, if I have to be the next person, because the thing about Chico First, you know, people need to look at the very clever way they try to make it seem like they're just out to help the community. Yay, yay, yay. But I mean, if you look at, you know, what that group represents and the fact that police and fire and city employees have gone to their events, they've tactically supported their event, makes people like you that speak out even more important, because it's kind of like giving a counterspin to the insanity that is Chico First and some of these other Facebook groups.
Absolutely. And I think it's important for everyone to come up and speak and be involved. And to the point of what you made about crossing the line, I feel as though my free speech rights were a little infringed upon. And I take offense to that, but I should actually thank Sean Morgan, our mayor, for having me removed, because it really just amplified the message that I'm trying to convey across Chico and the compassion that we need to approach homelessness with instead of discrimination.
Yeah, this whole guise is to make it seem as if if we just give them one more law or spend one more night in jail, they're going to connect to all these fabulously overabundant services here in Chico. It's BS. And the people that are spinning this know it. They know it, and they want to try to get the public that's not as articulated or not as familiar with the issue as me or you or others to kind of buy into their jargon. But I'm going to be there next week, Mark, whatever that means, in 2 weeks. You know,
yep.
We'll see what happens. But I really appreciate, you know, you coming on. And, you know, any closing comments before we get into our main program?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to all the friends and community for reaching out to me and just kind of supporting me. That really means a lot, and it really means a lot to just get that conversation going and, you know, trying to find a different approach to dealing with homelessness.
Because I mean, I think I've seen you from afar or in passing, but you do look disheveled. I mean, I was going to say disheveled, but it definitely this has affected you. I can tell by looking at you as one would be put in jail for a night for what you had said.
Well, it was absolutely worth it.
Alrighty, Mark Herrera, thanks for coming on the radio program.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Oh, my distinct pleasure. This actually works really well because after our underwriter, I have a interview that I had recorded with Robert Jones and Patrick Newman from Chico Friends on the Street way back in February that kind of talks about some of the issues that Mark had brought forward. And we're going to keep bringing these things forward until we get some justice here in Chico and some love in our hearts. And as always, as I say, if you have a roof, be grateful. All right, Gamma Mash here, and I'm really, really happy and pleased to have Robert Jones and Patrick Newman in the studio for a little extended conversation. I have no prompt questions. I just have these two gentlemen sitting here in the production studio at KZFR downtown Chico, and we're going to talk about stuff that's on our mind regarding friends on the streets and folks that need assistance. So welcome to KZFR, guys.
Good to be here, Bill.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having us.
All right, Patrick, how do we want to start this conversation?
There's a lot of places we could go, probably talk about some local recent developments. We just spent a little bit of time talking about the relocation of the Jesus Center, which means relocating people from our downtown, I think. I think that's the agenda, which Friends on the Street is something we're opposed to. Something else that's come into view recently was the mayor's State of the City address. Sean Morgan spoke over at the Card Center, I believe it was, and described his vision for a community court, which is something that I think as a community we ought to be talking about more, what that means, who's behind it, what the purpose of it is, and all that kind of stuff. So besides moving people out of our downtown, or as a way of trying to move people out of sight, there's different methodologies at work, and they all sort of dovetail together. So I always go back to the four fundamentals, which are demonization, criminalization, deprivation, and containment. So with the community court idea, what we have is a sort of right-wing agenda to put people who are on the streets committing lifestyle crimes, meaning sleeping, leaving a cart unattended, urinating when the restrooms are locked, these kinds of things that are done out of necessity in order to survive. Many of these are criminal activities. They get people ensnared in the criminal justice system. And then the question is, well, what do you do with them now? Can you run them through the county jail? Can you run them through the courts? What community courts do is they sort of take that out of the hands of the bigger system and create a community system where you have a panel of residents and they try to make a decision on the basis of this person's history, how we're going to channel them somewhere. So it sounds all good on the surface, but when you dig into it, it's not so good. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that.
Or to expand a little bit more on this, because I listened to Sean Morgan. It was an interview on one of the broadcast TV stations here. Bottom line is, my term for this, it's a Judge Judy-like volunteer court. So they're expecting they're going to get people to volunteer to be on these panels. And now you would hope you'd get a jury of your peers, but who knows who's going to show up in this Judge Judy-like environment to physically say, hey, yay or nay, if you don't want to go to the regular court, you need to do this. You need to do all these different things and jump through these different hoops, quote unquote community service. But my understanding is it's going to be volunteers that do this court. And I didn't see the detail on what kind of credentials the volunteers would have.
Well, that's a good question. And what we're doing is an extrajudicial sort of process where, like, if you commit a misdemeanor in Butte County, you're entitled to a public defender.
Mm-hmm.
We now have every single infraction on the books in Chico that homeless people normally commit are now written into the books as either infractions or misdemeanors. That
right.
means if a friend of mine, I won't mention her name, is arrested on the steps of the post office for sleeping, taken in handcuffs to Butte County Jail, she's been charged with a misdemeanor. That means that she's entitled to a public defender. And guess what? Our criminal justice system in Butte County does not want to deal with those kind of crimes in that way. Crimes in quotes. So with this community court idea, you can do, once again, a low budget version of justice where people are not entitled to representation. They plead guilty before the process starts.
So pretty much. Pretty much.
They pretty much plead guilty. So then they walk in as a person who's just admitted guilt, and then the community is going to mete out the consequences. So this model is based on the whole notion that people who are living on the streets are failing in some way, and they need to have consequences for their actions. In other words, this accountability word keeps coming up. They need to be accountable. And this is supposed to almost treated as if it's therapeutic. Like, if we can make them accountable, we can change their lives around, and then pretty soon one day they'll be employable, and they'll be, renting private sector housing, and they'll be one of us. And that whole thing is nonsensical.
The whole one of us. Yeah, the whole one of us thing is really damaging to me.
I just wanted to jump in. So, first of all, the fact it's concerning, it's disconcerting, and I hear people on many sides of this issue in Chico express dismay at the increased population of homeless sisters and brothers here, and saying that this is something that needs to be curtailed. We need to find ways to help end this. But what's important as someone who does come down to the plaza and does nothing heroic, but just try to be here in the public space with the people here. I've noticed too the increase in people with children. I noticed just the increase in numbers. Now, one way to interpret that is to say, as some do here, is to demonize and say that these people are not being accountable, that people flock from all over the country. These ridiculous, nonsensical statistics about people flocking from all over the country to come to Chico because it's so wonderful for homeless people to be in Chico. But I think people who take that view, that's really what it is bad faith. And what I mean by bad faith is that the real issue is not that there are people here who are not accountable. These people we see in the plaza, the increased numbers, the increased children, these people are the canaries in the coal mine. Part of what's going on, and this is more of a sociological, you know, kind of analysis. When I walk out my door and I'm in Chico and I see increased numbers of homeless people, that reflects that something is wrong. Something in the system, something in the city, something has gone wrong. And I feel uncomfortable with that. And rather than saying there's a breakdown in the system, in order to ameliorate the feelings of discomfort, instead, it's easier for me to demonize and say, what I prefer is that these people are not in the public space. If they're removed from the public space, then when I walk downtown, I won't have to see them. I won't have to feel bad. And so this push to, as Patrick says, to demonize, to compartmentalize, to remove the people from the public space, rather than seeing the people who are living in the public space as a symptom of a system that needs to be fixed, what we do instead is say, let's remove these people. And I want to say this, and I don't say this lightly, it's some of the stuff that I read on these Facebook posts from these various organizations, it's close to remove these people by any means necessary. And this, there's an ugly history of criminalizing poverty, of ghettoizing people, the othering of people, the unwanted people. And seriously, the reason why the motivation is because it makes me feel bad to see these people in my community, and it should make you feel bad. But the answer is not to remove the people; it's to understand why the people are there. What's the breakdown in the system? And it's not because people are lazy, and it's not because people aren't accountable. It's because we live in a system that doesn't provide social services for people who need it. And in coming down to the plaza, I spend, you know, time with people who I don't care how much accountability you want them to have. These are people who have brain damage. These are people who have mental, you know, illness. These are people who will not be, quote, you know, back into the system like the rest of us. These people need to be cared for. That's the truth that people don't want to face. This movement of criminalizing, this movement of demonizing, this is bad faith on the part of white, middle-class, affluent, suburban people in Chico who want to demonize people because they don't like the way it makes them feel. What they really need to do is use their resources to change the system, to provide a way so that we don't have these people sleeping on the street. When we live in a nation that is the wealthiest nation on the planet, and there are people who are lying in the street, sleeping at night in the cold, that's a disgrace. It's a disgrace, and we should all feel embarrassed that that's the way our system is.
Robert set that up really well, because for these quality of life crimes that we're talking about, what we have is an elected official who just wrote an article for the Enterprise Record, Sean Morgan, our mayor, and in response to these people that Robert just described, who have this raft of afflictions and life crisis, the kid with the 32 foster homes in his history, the brain injury, devastating family circumstances of all kinds, everything that leads to people ending up on the street in an environment where we don't have affordable housing. You have a quote like this. This is a quote from his article in reference to the community court. Drop out of the program. Remember, now we're talking about people with brain injuries, 40% of men, et cetera, et cetera. Drop out of the program. Don't show up for community service or reject participation altogether? Harsh consequences. Warrants, arrests, jail time. So this is the carrot, is the community court where you're going to do community service. This is a person who's now struggling with just surviving on the streets. They're going to do some kind of community service as a consequence. On top of that, if they don't play this game, somehow they're going to be, the kind of criminal justice response is going to be actually ramped up. So I think what we ought to be really doing is doing some soul searching about how we could have a mayor that takes this kind of position on an issue like this. And that's a whole subject in itself. But
one thing I'll land on, because I just thought about it in this conversation, which is always good to have conversations. Conversations are good, people. Is the fact that there's always this push to not spend money on people experiencing poverty. Like the opposite needs to occur. So I think there's also another play here in that if this thing worked exactly as they described, they'd be saving millions of dollars in the judicial system because now they'd be having volunteers administering yes. justice. This sounds a little bit like some Wild West movies I've seen, you know, on spaghetti westerns. What do you guys think?
It's always everything on the cheap. So, I mean, this is the one of the most interesting things about this is that the people who are least supportive of government programs, the kind of programs that would actually provide affordable housing, and the kind of social services that we need at the level we need them in the United States right now. The people of that political orientation are the ones who are the least tolerant of having these people in our public spaces. Logically, they should be the most tolerant because they're the ones who are the least interested in spending the money to make it possible to get the kind of services we need. You know, and that's kind of the right-wing Sean Morgan, Mark Sorensen view of the world. Cut services, spend no money, Doug LaMalfa, and then demonize people who end up on the streets. It's maddening. And that also represents a lot of what's going on with our downtown property owners. It's all kind of that same mentality.
I gave a lecture in Butte College for the Book in Commons, Just Mercy. And the teacher had warned me that there was one person who was just like visceral in his hatred towards people in poverty. But we're in the lab portion of this lecture. I did two classes. And I showed this street musician who actually had a tear in his eye making a mandolin song for his mom, and I'll never forget this. We stopped this thing, and it worked perfectly because all the other students looked at him. But he got this big red face, and he goes, "You're trying to humanize him." And I said, "Well, yeah, he's a human, you know." So that's what we're dealing with. So when you hear these terms like dehumanization, that's exactly what's going on. If you've gone to these city council meetings, when you hear the people mostly from the right, the Sorensen, we mentioned names, their elected officials, Sorensen and Morgan, they don't appear to have much heart for anything. They view these people as nothing less than the turd that they might see on the sidewalk that needs to be removed. They show no emotion. They're almost a little sociopathic as far as I can see from sitting through these meetings. So anyway, I'm off my soapbox.
No, Bill, I'll get on your soapbox. No, but here's what I wanted to say. These kinds of policies, the ideology and the philosophy behind a kind of neoliberal view of the world, right, is that people who are homeless, they have done something wrong. Or let's put it this way. There's a moral component. And the moral component is that there's this kind of ideology, and this goes back to, you know, the Reagan era, and that is, A, some of these people choose to live like that. B, which, there may be. I'm sure I can go down to the plaza and I could find someone. I'm sure I could find one person who says, perhaps I choose to do this. But that's not a representative sample. But secondly, the ideology is something like this, is if you are not successful materially, that speaks to some kind of moral failure, some kind of character flaw. And so when I look at the person who's sleeping on the street and I look at myself and I get into my nice car, I can have a sense that I am on the side of good and right because I have accomplished the things that I am to accomplish. And that person, due to some kind of character failure or moral failure, they deserve what they got. So this kind of neoliberal view that says, I got mine and you get yours, and if you don't have yours, it's because of something you've done wrong. What's being ignored in that picture is that the notion that we live in a meritocracy, that is, the notion that we live in a culture that if you just work hard, you will merit and you will receive these kinds of material benefits, that's a myth. The myth is it's invisible because what we don't notice are all the ways throughout our lives when we've had a hand up, when we've had help by so-and-so. You know, Bill, when I teach my race class, I ask people to raise their hand, and I say, I want you to raise your hand if you've ever gotten a job. I don't care if it's at the mall, if it's delivering newspapers, whatever. Have you ever gotten a job because you've known someone who got you the job? And almost every student's hand raised. Then I say, I want you to raise your hand for those of you who've just cold called on a job and walked in and gotten a job not knowing anyone, and I barely get a hand up. Now, just think about throughout your life, think about all the times you've gotten this help. Thinking about myself, I'm a professor at the university. How did I get into graduate school? How did I get through college? How did I get a job? The quote, invisible, the kind of invisible help that I've gotten throughout that journey, the number of times I've been helped is countless. And yet I want to look at myself in the mirror and say, look at me. I'm Mr. Wonderful. I did it myself. I'm a groovy Mr. Philosophy professor, all because I worked hard. When in fact, when I look at those people here in the plaza, I think there but for the grace of God go I. The node in my life when I decided to do X instead of Y could have led me there in a heartbeat. And that's true of almost all of us, you know, in the culture.
Two things I'll add to that. And once again, folks, just joining, we're talking with two of the folks from Chico Friends on the Street, Patrick Newman and Robert Jones. Just a story, because we just came from the plaza to do an interview that aired last week. But one of the most heart-wrenching things I heard, but it was said with power. So if you're with strength and will, I mean, if you're homeless, man, the ones that do the best are making the best of a bad situation. But the kid, he was 24 at the time. He says to me, I'm homeless by choice. I said, choice? Why are you homeless by choice? He said, when I was 14, I ran away from a group home where I was being sexually assaulted. And that was my choice. And that is the dichotomy of what you're dealing with out here. And folks that don't have the will or the way or the capacity that to look at people as humans, they kind of view the world as this, and I see it. If you walk up to someone and say, hey, you want $5, what are you going to use it for? I'm going to buy food. And then the second thing they said, yeah, I'm out here homeless by choice. They might have been lying about the fact they were homeless by choice, and they were probably telling the truth about wanting food. But I see things spun so much, and people come up with all of this vitriol. And frankly speaking, some of this stuff is almost fictionist that, I don't know, we need more conversations like this.
So we can use all that to drive things like consolidating services, which goes back to this question of, you know, how do we do this on 5 cents on the dollar? It's like, that's the kind of the proof that this can all be done without spending the money is to solve these problems some other way. And what we do is more policing. And we're talking more and more about consolidating people. What does that mean? You put them in a low-cost facility with a mat on the floor. You put people with brain injuries, schizophrenia, bipolar, drug addiction. You throw them all into one system. You don't deliver state-of-the-art care. There's no housing at the other end of it. So all you've done is you've contained people at very low cost, basically, and that's, I guess, considered a success. And that's sort of the direction that a lot of places are going.
Yeah, and it's,
but when you throw everybody together, you've really returned to the 18th century asylum system, essentially. Like I always say, you don't have an MRI machine inside these places. You're not delivering state-of-the-art care. What you're doing is you're just kind of warehousing people.